Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, and also to welcome to the show four distinctive and talented players of the game, who once more are going to show off their verbal dexterity, their creative ingenuity, and their humorous fantasy as they try and speak for just a minute on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that also without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four talented people are Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Lisa Tarbuck, and Clement Freud. Please welcome all four of them. And beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House as we start the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is alternative medicine, and you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
In olden days, when people were ill, they went to a doctor and either became better or worse. And the medic used to get tremendous applause if he succeeded, and never any blame. Now we have alternative medicine. People who lay their hands on you to heal you, who send you to have injections, to go on diets, jump in lakes, be tattooed.
I wondered when someone was going to challenge. Yes,
yeah,
Lisa, you
waiting.
Got in first.
You could have driven a train through that, I'm yes. sure. Alternative
so,
or no.
So, hesitation.
Yes.
As a correct challenge. So, Lisa, you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 30 seconds available. Alternative medicine starting now.
Alternative medicine is a wonderful thing. I particularly favour acupuncture. I like my channels to be flowing and free. And I like my chi.
Clement, challenge.
Two likes.
There were two likes.
Fair dues.
Yes, fair dues. And you've got the subject back, Clement. 21 seconds available. Alternative medicine starting now.
Osteopathy.
Paul Merton, challenge.
Yeah, we've all had a drink. There's no need. There's no need to use language like that. There's nice ladies and gentlemen listening to this show. I mean, you know, it's rude.
What is a challenge when the rules are just
a minute? It's just vulgar language.
Not if you're an osteopath.
Well, you know.
No, Paul, it was a surreal challenge, but it wasn't correct within the rules of.
You're being very kind.
Yes. It wasn't correct within the rules of Just a Minute, so Clement has another point for an incorrect challenge. He keeps alternative medicine. 19 seconds, starting now.
Since the eradication of leeches to help your blood disease and similar maladies.
In fairness, that was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
Yeah, it was.
The whole thing.
I don't know. He's struggling a bit on this one. Graham, you have a correct challenge. You have a point, of course. 10 seconds available. Alternative medicine starting now.
The only real alternative to medicine is, of course, certain death. I can't imagine why you'd opt for that unless you were very boo-hoo sick. Now.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Graham Norton. So at the end of that round, Graham Norton has 2 points alongside Clement Freud and then Lisa Tarbuck and Paul Merton. Lisa, will you take the next round? The subject is bugs. Tell us something about bugs in just a minute, starting now.
Bed bugs, when magnified, could keep a small child awake for years. I personally saw them when I was about 12 and thought that it was some sort of alien discovery from outer space. Water bugs, on the other hand, can be quite pleasant, drifting around pools, creating little sticky bits around their feet and generally doing things with silt that we don't need to know, but somebody does. I am actually very anxious about the sort of airborne bugs that one catches that causes you to vomit for hours and hours, if not weeks.
Hours and hours.
See, I relaxed then, didn't
I? I hours and hours. Right, Clement, another point to you. And 28 seconds available. You tell us something about bugs starting now.
If you're a nice person, you don't kill bugs. What you do is you catch them and throw them out of a window from a very great height.
corn mutton challenge.
That would kill them, wouldn't it? It's deviation. So you don't kill them, you throw out them out the window from a very great height. What's the poor bug? The poor bug think, oh, you know, somebody's hand comes down, oh, I'm going to be killed. No, I'm not going to be killed. I'm not going to be killed.
Some
at all.
Bugs.
I'm in a lift. Where am I going? I'm going up higher and higher. Oh, this is good. Oh, there's a window. What a lovely view. Ah!
I almost want to give you something for dramatic performance, actually. Yeah. But actually, some bugs can fly. So they might throw them out the window and they fly off, you see.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, what's the point of that?
He's trying to save them. He's environmentally very friendly.
But what were they doing before he picked them up?
I don't know. Ask Clement. I don't think within the rules of Just a Minute it was...
Altitude sickness.
I don't think it was a fair challenge. So, well tried, Paul. We enjoyed listening to your tirade. But, Clement, you get another point and you have 18 seconds. Bugs starting now.
You could practice reflexology on bugs.
Leaves a chance. Absolutely, because I don't think you could. I'd had it for deviation as well as that. Getting a little tiny fly and trying to get hold of his legs and put your thumb
on
it.
Well, centipede, I thought.
Yes. Bugs is with you, Lisa. 15 seconds starting now.
If you suspected your husband of having an affair or you wanted to obtain some business information that you weren't privy to beforehand, it might be prudent to put a bug into the telephone or, as we've seen in films, insert one into a lamp so that you can...
So Lisa Tarbuck was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. And she's now in second place, just behind Clement Freud and just ahead of Graham Norton and Paul Merton. And Graham, your turn to begin. Now, the subject is Victoria and Albert. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Victoria was a very posh woman who became queen. That's why posh people are still called Victoria. Oh, I've said posh
Paul
twice.
Challenge.
Too posh.
There are too many poshies.
And I've never been accused of that before.
Right, so, Paul, you've got a point. You've got in with 49 seconds to tell us something about Victoria and Albert, starting now.
When Victoria first met her future husband, Albert Memorial, she was struck by the enormous height of the man. He was an extraordinarily tall fellow, and in Victorian times, which was named after Victoria, she was particularly... No.
Oh, they enjoyed the expression on the face, and that's why they clapped. But, Graham, you got in first.
Oh, he stopped. Yeah. Hesitation.
Right. 31 seconds. You've got Graham... I just by saying Graham and Albert back. It's... you have got Victoria and... You have got Victoria and Albert back with you, Graham, starting now.
Interesting you should say that. Because Victoria Beckham, Victoria Hervey Jones...
Paul Challenge.
That was repetition of Victoria, I was going to say.
I did repeat it.
Yes,
no,
I know.
You heard me right.
Yes, you did repeat it, yes. But you thought he was going to repeat posh, and she said Beckham on this occasion. So, an incorrect challenge, Graham. You've still got Victoria and Albert, and you have 25 seconds starting now.
When you did have to pay for museums, I asked for a refund when I went to the Victoria and Albert one, because they're not in there, in no shape or form. Lots of other mummies, no sign of Vicar Alp. I said, where are they? They didn't know. I searched high and low.
Clement Jones.
They.
Yes, well, a lot of they, I'm afraid, yes, yes. Clement, another point, 10 seconds. Victoria and Albert, starting now.
I think the Victoria and Albert Museum is one of the finest museums...
Paul, challenge.
I can't believe... I can't believe I fell for that.
No.
Museum and museums.
That's right, yes. It's not your day,
actually. It's halfway through museum,
yes.
And at Clement's pace, I had time to think about it. And I really couldn't... I couldn't see an S coming towards me. I could see something that looked like a comma, but as I... It then became an S. So,
yes.
So my challenge is ridiculous and needless and pointless.
You've explained the workings of your mind, which are very convoluted and very, very enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they weren't correct within the rules of justice.
No.
But they're no use to in Just a Minute. So, Clement, another point to you. Victoria and Albert, starting now.
It is interesting and also sad to realise how little Elizabeth and Philip there is...
When Claire so delicately tweaked on her whistle vent, it meant the 60 seconds was up. And who was speaking then? It was Clement Freud, who's got a good lead at the end of that round, followed by Graham Norton and Lisa Tarbuck and Paul Merton, once in fourth place. But Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, CCTV. Go on the subject, Paul. 60 seconds starting now.
CCTV was invented several years ago, and there were many liberty people who thought to themselves, well, I don't know.
Graham Norton Challenge.
What's a liberty people?
Yes.
They're sort of like they're people who believe in liberty.
Yes. Oh, fair enough. Yes.
Liberty.
No, I'm just curious.
But it didn't make sense in the context in which you were using it.
Oh, well, if we've got to make sense, I might as well go home.
I'm sure I will find a chance to redress the balance, Paul. On this occasion, I give the benefit of the doubt to Graham, who has CCTV and 51 seconds starting now.
CCTV is a marvellous invention. For, dear friends, if you did hold up a filling station, how else would you get to remember the lovely occasion? Unless you could bring the video home and watch it over and over again. Oh, I said over.
Lisa,
twice.
Challenge.
Over.
Too many overs, yes.
I need a tissue.
Lisa, 35 seconds. Tell us something about CCTV, starting now.
CCTV could be in...
Right, two lights came on together, so it shows you how fair I am, and they happen to be Graham's and Paul's, so I gave Graham the... And that's yours, Clement, and I'm not going to give anything to... Stop it. Benefit of the doubt, Graham, last time. Paul, you have the benefit this time. You take the subject and a point, of course. CCTV, 33 seconds, starting now.
One always looks very guilty when you see this footage back. It's often played on such shows as Crime Watch and the 9 o'clock news. Usually when there's been some kind of misdemeanor or felon has been caught in the act. I wonder what we used to do before the days of CCTV. Did street artists hang around various roads sketching everybody that went past in the hope... Or indeed, perhaps the mistaken belief that they were about to commit a crime. The great train robbery was initially carried out by people who were no more...
So Paul kept going with a long session on that subject, and he finished up speaking as Wengo gained that extra point for doing so, and he has leapt forward, but he's still trailing the others just a little bit. That's one of those things. Clement! Your turn to begin. The subject, an air of authority. Will you tell us something about an air of authority in this game, starting now?
An air of authority, unlike an air of the dog that bit you, is something I've never quite understood, although Prince Charles must be considered an air of authority. Never has some...
Paul, what challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, it was. He got that groan from the audience and he hesitated. I'm not surprised.
I was riding a groan.
So, Paul, another point to you, and you've got the subject of an air of authority. 45 seconds starting now.
If you want to know the true definition of somebody who has an air of authority, then I would direct you to look no further.
Graham Norton Challenge.
It was a sort of hesitation-y thing.
Yes, it was a hesitation-y thing. So you have it, and you have 37 seconds, an air of authority starting now.
Some teachers in school do not have an air of authority, while others do have an air of authority, or a cane, as it is known. I remember being so frightened of some people who were teaching us in the big building with the books, just there by the hill. Oh, a bike. It'll be very hard to get there, but I'll try. I'm young. I have strength in my legs. And when I arrived, I...
Yes, it was a sort of...
Self-combustion, I felt.
Ken, you challenge first.
Repetition of some.
Yes, there was some.
well done.
So you repeated some. Clement, another correct challenge to you. 9 seconds, an air of authority, starting now.
An air of authority is something which is absolutely essential if you set out to become a politician and try...
Lisa, challenge.
Well, do you know, that was whispery. That was... as he took a breath, I dived in to say hesitation because I knew there's about 2 seconds left. Which makes me wrong.
It makes you wrong, yes. I was wondering whether you're going to have him for deviation politician.
But
I don't think we'll go down that road because, Clement, an incorrect challenge, and you still have an air of authority. Well, you've always had an air of authority, but you have the subject of an air of authority in 2 seconds, starting now.
Friends, Romans, and countrymen.
Right. So, at the end of that round, Clement Freud's increased his lead. He's now just ahead of Graham Norton, and then in third place, Lisa Tarbuck and Paul Merton are equal. Lisa, it's your turn to begin.
Oh,
the subject is the public eye. Tell us something about the public eye in this game, starting now.
George Orwell wrote a book once called 1984. I hope the Lord that that's correct. But the public eye, it strikes me, is in the same sort of shadow as that. A great big unblinking eye looking down at us all from levels of notoriety, judging each and every one of you, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly not me. I could pop out for some chuck steak and be caught outside the butcher's and have that picture in a magazine. What does it mean? Nothing. Now, you can go off and murder someone and grab yourself a couple of double pages in the Daily Express and find yourself within the public.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of yourself.
Yes, yourself.
Thank you for that.
Well, did you understand?
No, he's playing the game. That's why we're here.
Yes. Paul, a correct challenge. 23 seconds. The public eye starting now.
Some people who are in the public eye do complain about it, but of course, if you have set out to achieve some fame or notoriety, the last thing you should be doing is moaning about the success you have achieved. I would never think of disguising myself in the public eye. I would wander around proud.
Put them before a challenge.
Repetition of wood.
Yes, you said wood more than once.
He's bluffing you, Nicholas.
No, he's not. I would not.
You're not sure. You're agreeing with him, but you're not sure. How many times did I say would, Nicholas?
You said it twice, which is repetition.
Well, technically that's repetition, yeah.
Yes. Clement, only 5 seconds. The public eye starting now.
I have not myself been on the public eye and look forward enormously to being asked.
Lisa Challenge.
He's referring, of course, to the London eye, not the public eye, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I wasn't.
You on the public eye?
Can you justify it?
You're a rascal, Mr. Freud.
I know. No, you're bluffing this time.
Sir, to you.
A point to you, Lisa. Half a second ago, starting now.
The public eye...
Oh, so Clement Freud's still in the lead, but he's followed in equal second place. Lisa Tarbuck, Graham Norton and Paul Merton all together there. Ooh. So very interesting. Graham, it's back with you to begin. I think this strikes right home at this particular moment, isn't it? Someone's got down here learning to drive. Oh, yes. Tell us something about learning to drive, starting now.
I'm so excited because at the moment I am learning to drive. I love it! It is fantastic. I know so many new things now. For instance, I can go...
Lisa Challenge.
You know, I'm being evil now. You've said I quite a lot.
Have I?
Yes, you have,
I supported you through thick and thin. No, come back and bite me.
I owe you my career.
It was a tough challenge because
it was because I wanted to know what he was going to say.
I know, and we all did, and that's why someone thought of that subject for him because we'd hear about
will
it.
Now.
Well, you might. You might get back in again.
So, Lisa, no, you've spoiled it for everyone.
These are 49 seconds. Learning to drive, starting now.
Learning to drive is a very tricky business. Personally, I took myself off to Richmond Park with my friend Imelda, who used to be very, very tough.
Poor child.
Oh, it's so very, easy. Very, was yes. that you?
No.
Was
I'm nice.
You said very, very on purpose, hoping Graham would come in. How a sporting
yes,
girl you
I
are.
Yes, I did. You're right.
And, Paul, you got in first. 41 seconds. Tell us something about learning to drive, starting now.
I learned to drive at my very first attempt, and in my second and third... Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. I got addicted to the passing. It was a marvellous achievement when he looks you in the eye and says, well, apart from the four people you've knocked over, the elephant that's in tranquilised sedation... Oh, no.
Clement.
Deviation.
Yeah, yes, deviation, right. And, right, learning to drive, Clement, 22 seconds with you, starting now.
Approaching a roundabout, it seems to be important now to switch on the car radio... Put your telephone to your ear, smoke, and wave to all those who can see you before you grope the driving instructor. This is essential if you want him to pass you so that you can get a
Graham
driving...
Norton Challenge.
He's sort of hesitating. You can't go past...
He's not sort of. He definitely was hesitating.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And his pauses got slower and slower.
Because you must make progress at all times. I know that now.
Yes, well, you can make some progress about the information you've learned from learning to drive, but you only have 2 seconds in which to do it, and you start now.
70 miles per hour is the speed limit. Unless you're...
So Graham Norton was then speaking when the whistle went and gained that extra point, and he's moved into second place behind Clement Freud. Is there anything else you've learned particularly from your learning to drive lessons?
Don't learn to drive near schools. And that's about it, really. I have a very nice instructor called Howell. He's very nice. And I do know now you can't go 70 miles an hour when you're towing a caravan, because it's against the law to go fast in a cardigan. That's true.
And if you were knitting a cardigan, the police stop you, you just say, no, pull over, pull over.
Yeah. Oh. Very good. Mm. Oh, they're all in a box under the desk.
And, Lisa, your turn to begin. The subject is octopus. Tell us something about octopus in just a minute, starting now.
An octopus is an eight-armed mollusk commonly found...
Graham Challenge.
He'd be picky. I'd say legs. Just think.
Now that is opening up quite a debate.
It is opening quite a debate, but I'm not afraid of it.
Chairman.
I'm not afraid of it. We go to our expert, Nicholas Parsons, who will tell us what
they're
all
about. Well, if you look up in the dictionary, it does refer to them as legs.
No, it's tentacles.
It was tentacles.
They're not arms or legs, it's tentacles.
They are tentacles.
But if one was to hug you, would he be hugging you with his legs or his arms?
In that kind of situation, I wouldn't care one way or the other. As long as he wasn't hugging me tentacles, I'd be all right.
Arms or legs?
As correct.
I think the gauge is, if you put gloves on them, they'd look silly. Whereas little shoes would look all right.
Give Graham Norton a bonus point for what he just said, because he deserves it.
There's a lot of
truth
gloves,
in it,
mittens, surely. Oh, no, well, there's no fingers.
I'm not going to give you bonus points
with
for mittens.
String
now.
All the way round. And then you can turn them upside down, they'd be a salad bowl.
Give mittens to an octopus, you don't want him to lose them.
No, that's right.
And then the amount of time he's going to put a mitten on an octopus, you might as well put a bit of string around it.
And then by the time you attack them, they've got all those strings, and then they'll get so caught up, he won't be able to strangle you.
Well, it wasn't my idea in the first place.
But,
I'm just trying to make the best of the bad job.
Graham has...
I'd go with slip-ons. I wouldn't go with lace-ups. No. That would take forever. The school bus would be long gone.
The idea of an octopus on a school bus is a bit bizarre, but...
Well, it could have 6 legs and 2 arms. Otherwise, how's it going to have dinner?
We have established, with Paul's help, that they are tentacles, but some refer to them as legs. You wanted arms. Graham's got a bonus point because of his remarks about the mittens and the shoes and so forth.
I've got a gingham dress. Let's have a show.
And we have a whole routine of going about octopus, but you keep the subject, Lisa, and you have 55 seconds to continue. Octopus, starting now.
They have a very well-developed polypy eye that looks like Papa Doc's staring at you from a courtroom in somewhere hot. They feed on crabs and lobsters. I have no idea how they stamp the shells off the lobsters or the crabs, which I have repeated.
Graham Jack.
On purpose.
Repetition of shellfish, lobsters,
yes,
and crabs.
Crabs and lobsters, yes. So you have 38 seconds on octopus starting now.
The octopuses, or octopi, when shopping for shoes, never go for suede because the salt water plays havoc. And you can never really get the finish back again, even if you use a wire brush. And God knows they can brush away with those little things.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of brush.
There was a brush.
There was?
You'll brush away, yes. Paul, do tell us something about octopus in 23 seconds, starting now.
Trying to make love to an octopus is one of the most dangerous things that any human being can attempt. I take your mind back now to the days of Jacques Cousteau, who in 1958, very hard it was for him to get across to the general public that you should never approach...
Graham Challenge.
Repetition never.
Yes, you've mentioned never twice. Graham, 3 seconds on octopus starting now.
Octopus never...
And there we are, Clement.
Repetition of never.
No, he never said never. It was he who said never.
He said never when he said never.
No. Graham has not used the word never yet. Paul used it twice.
Gooden.
Yes. So another point to Graham, and 1 second on octopus, Graham, starting now.
Octopus do not really
die. Right, so let me give you the situation. The moment as we're moving into the final round, and it is that Paul Merton has just taken the lead. He's one ahead of Clement Freud. Graham Norton's leapt forward. He's only 2 points behind our leader, and Lisa Tarbuck's in there with a fight for the last thing. She's only 4 points behind our leader. Graham, it's your turn to begin this last round on cloud nine. Would you talk on the subject starting now?
I feel at a slight loss when discussing on cloud nine, because I don't quite understand it. I know it's got something to do with being happy, but what's wrong? I mean, how bad were 1 to 8? Why wouldn't you settle there? Cloud nine isn't that good. What's wrong with 10? It's some sort of neighbour ending.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of what's wrong with.
What's wrong with.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's
yes.
My question.
Yes. And you repeated it.
I'm glad you picked up on it.
Yes, so you... Well, you're not really, because you've lost the subject.
Yeah, well, yes. No,
so, Clement, a correct challenge. You have 41 seconds on Cloud 9, starting now.
Cloud 9 is where a successful octopus would end up. All I want to say.
That you pause. And you got him first. Hesitation. 36 seconds, Paul, on cloud nine, starting now.
It's a state of happiness, nirvana. You look up to your life and you think, I've never been happier than I am now. Things are bursting full of joy right out of my ears. The endorphins, the chemicals in my brain are floating around my body, giving me a wonderful feeling when I look around at this marvellous...
Graham Norton challenge.
Repetition of look.
Yes. Graham, you've got the subject back. You've got 16 seconds on cloud nine, starting now.
On cloud nine, they serve packs of party-size cocktail sausage rolls. Oh, they're lovely. Up to 50 at a sitting. And it's soft pastry, mind. No cutting your gums. Cloud nine is...
Well, Graham Norton brought this show to a close and that round to a close, gained an extra point for doing so, and we have an interesting result because everybody has scored a great number of points. They're all very, very close. Lisa only just finished in fourth place. Only just. A great contribution, but brought in fourth. Because in second place, equal were Graham Norton and Clement Freud, equal. But only 1 point ahead of them was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, by that small margin, you are the winner this week. So it only remains me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Lisa Tarbuck, and Clement Freud. I also thank Claire Bartlett for helping me keep the score and for blowing her whistle so elegantly every time the 60 seconds occurred. And also, we thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game that we all enjoy playing, and we are deeply indebted to our audience who've assembled here in the radio theatre to cheer us on our way. We do hope you've enjoyed the show. We've enjoyed playing it to you. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the panel, goodbye until the next time we play Just a Minute.